Hey guys, my name's Devin, if you don't know me, 8th grade guys leader. So why don't you go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. So on Friday, it was the first day of spring, right? Wow. Come on guys, it's 12:30 or something like that. You got to wake up. We're going to get through this together. So we're going to start over. I think Friday was the first day of spring, right? Okay, well, I don't really like spring that much. Summer is more of my favorite, but not here because it gets like 180 degrees. But one thing I love about summer is grilling. Anybody like grilling? I mean, there's nothing like going to a barbecue. There's nothing like going into a pool party and just having some nice old cheeseburgers. I mean, there's something about going out. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I haven't had anything to eat today. Those are delicious. One problem, though, right now with my current living situation, I'm not homeless, don't worry, is we live in an apartment complex that has grills. And so last time I went to go grill, I opened up the lid and there was a tail that kind of wiggled down in. There was a rat in the grill. So I fired it up, just made it a little bit crispier, added some flavor. Just kidding, I didn't do that. So I don't really use the grills that much. We have to cook inside, and for my wife and I, it's pretty hard because we're both students. She works full time. She provides for me. Guys, try to provide for your wives later. But we kind of have a different mindset when it comes to meat and how long it's okay for it to sit out for. I'm kind of like a letter by the law. If it says this date, we're tossing it out. Because what happens to meat if it sits out a little bit? It spoils. See, we have this nice little T-bone. See, that looks nice. What do you think would happen if we let that sit out and just kind of fester for a couple days? What do you think would happen? It would look like this. So let's just, I'm still ready for lunch. Let's take that off so we don't throw up. So guys, just like meat, if it goes untreated, if it goes unpreserved, it spoils, it rots. We're the same way. The human race is the same way. The world is the same way. That if you leave us alone, we're going to get nasty. We're going to spoil. We're going to rot. And you see this when you look at the news. When I scroll through Twitter, you see all the bombings, all the killings, all the divisions, all the marches, everything. It's because the world's broken and it's wasting away. And we see this in the Bible. The cause of this is we go to Psalm 51:5. You don't have to turn there. It'll be on the screen. This is David saying, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Romans says something similar, that for all have sinned. Every one of us. And it's only until we get to heaven that we'll be reconciled. And then in 2 Timothy 3, see if this kind of world sounds familiar right now. This is talking about in the last days. Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Guys, the world has been infected by sin, and we see that. You probably see that in your home. You probably see that at school. So what do we do about it? That's what this whole series is about. This whole series, last week, Jermaine talked about being light. He talked about how we need to be light to the world, how we need to go out and share what Jesus has done in us, that we are the light of the world, that's what Jesus calls us to. And so this week, we're going to look at how Jesus calls us to be salt. He says, "You are the salt of the earth," over in Matthew 5:13. It says, "You are the salt in the earth." Now, I think this gets a little lost on us, because what do we typically use salt for? Seasoning? Lamps? We use salt for lamps? Okay. But yeah, we typically use salt for seasoning. If mom makes a little meatloaf and it's not that good, you put some salt on it. That's basically the only use for it. Our culture doesn't revolve around it. Our culture doesn't need it. It's great to have. But it's just kind of that little plastic thing, that little shaker that if it busts, it ruins your fries. That's basically it for us. But who Jesus was writing to, the culture, salt meant something completely different. Salt meant something completely different. See, in the Roman culture back then, Roman soldiers were paid by salt. It's where we get the term salary, which is how much money you make. It's where we get the term, the phrase, he's not worth his salt, because he got paid in salt. See, there were wars that were fought. Wars fought between two nations over land because that land had salt. It was a prized commodity. It was valued. It was traded with. You could purchase something with salt. Imagine going to the Apple store, getting yourself a little iPhone, iWatch, iScooter, iChair, whatever. And they say, okay, that'll be 18,000 packets of salt.
What?
I mean, it just seems far-fetched to us, but that was their culture then. So why was salt that valuable? Any guesses? What was that? You can keep meat fresh with it. And why would that be important? Because it would go bad and it would spoil. See, today we have these things called fridges and freezers. They didn't have those back then. And so if you had meat, you only really got to use it for that day unless you had salt. See, salt was a means of life and death to them. See, salt was there to purify and preserve. That's what it was purpose. It purified and it preserved. It kept them healthy. Because it prevented bacteria from getting in there and spoiling the meat. Their survival was dependent upon it. And so what Jesus is saying here is, hey, you are that. You are salt. So if we go back to the analogy of the human race being a lot like meat, and if we leave it alone and spoil, Christians, you, me, we're like a refrigerator. We're there to try and keep things fresh until Jesus comes back again and makes everything new. You are called to purify and preserve. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, hey, you're not here just for like some seasoning or whatever. He's saying, you have a specific purpose in this. I'm calling you to preserve and purify the world while I'm gone. That's your place. That's your purpose. People search forever trying to find their place in this world. And for us believers, that's what it is. Think about that for a second, that the God of the world, the God of all creation, is stewarding and calling you, 6th, 7th, 8th graders in Dallas. He's calling you to lead. He's calling you to purify and preserve the world. He's calling you. You are the future leaders. You are the leaders of your generation. One day, people like me, we're going to be gone. And it's going to be up to you. Maybe one day one of you will be up here speaking. Maybe one day one of you will be leading a business. The time is now, guys. Just because you're in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade doesn't mean that you can't be salt. And your purpose is to preserve and purify the world. The song, You Make Me Brave. Brave for what? Brave to go into the world and fill out this calling, fill out this purpose. So as we look at how salt preserves, how do we do this? How do we become like salt? That's someone salting, it's a ham. And so you put that on there, you cure it, you just layer it with salt. And it says, salting, especially of meat, is an ancient preservation technique. The salt draws out the moisture and creates an environment inhospitable to bacteria. That means bacteria can't live in there. If salted in cold weather so that the meat does not spoil while the salt has time to take effect, salted meat can last for years. For years. Something that would last only a day at most, just sitting on a counter, if it's salted properly, can last for years. Because you have that same impact on the world. You have that same call. And so the first thing that salt does is it creates an environment. Salt doesn't attack the meat. It preserves what's good there and lets what is bad waste away without corrupting the rest of the meat. That's what salt does. It creates a better environment. So how many of you guys know that one kid who's always positive, that one kid who is, let's say, you always feel better after being around him. Show of hands, how many of you know that one kid? Okay. What's keeping you from being that kid? What's keeping you from being that kid? See, salt creates a better environment. Just like we, believers, you should create a better environment. Your Twitter, your Instagram, those things should be used to glorify God. Those are tools to glorify, to create a better environment. They don't need to be filled with hate. Your group of friends should be the most fun and the least worldly in how you talk and how you act and what you watch and what you listen to. Guys, you are called to be set apart and different to where other people would look and see, what's going on there? If you have a friend over to your house in the neighborhood, they say, why don't you talk that way? Why don't you have that movie? Why don't you have that game? Why don't you have those clothes? Your life should be lived in such a way that it creates that environment. So be salt, be change, and purify the environment. But one way that salt would be ineffective is if it's contaminated. Is there a second thing? Salt must be uncontaminated. You yourself need to be pure. You yourself need to be purifying yourself. If you've got sin in your life that you're not dealing with, that's unconfessed, that you're not sharing, you're not going to be of any use. See, it goes on to say in Matthew 5:13, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor, or if it's lost its saltiness? How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, what Jesus is saying here is that there are certain types of salt back then that came off the sea. And those salts were corrupted. They had other minerals and stuff in them that made them ineffective. They couldn't use them for salting food because it just wouldn't work and it would taste horrible. So all that salt was good for, because it was corrupt, because it was missed, all it was good for was to scatter along the path to keep weeds from growing up. That's all it was good for. It was like de-icing salt that we use here whenever Dallas shuts down from ice. That's all it was good for. Likewise, if your life is contaminated, you're going to have a hard time being salt to the earth. So think, what's that one sin, or what are those couple sins in your life that you need to get rid of, that you need to nip out? Some of you might be thinking, okay, there's too many. I can't do that. Or I can't share that. No one else struggles with that. Guys, I want to challenge you to step out. Confess to God. Confess to your leaders. Confess to your small group what those are. Romans says, if you confess, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Also, James says, if you confess your sins, he is quickly and easily to forgive. Guys, confess. Let it out. Don't keep it in. Because the enemy is going to want to try and keep that inside of you. But then we're not effective. We don't meet our purpose. Encourage those. Jesus stands ready to forgive you and cleanse you and purify you, so that you might find your true purpose in the world, so that you might go and purify and preserve the world. And so if we are creating this better environment, if we are purifying ourselves, we need to be invested, because salt must be invested. You can't just have a slab of ribs here and some salt and it cure. It doesn't work that way. What has to happen? The salt has to go on the ribs for it to happen. You've got to rub up against your friends, your neighbors, your teachers, your classmates. You've got to get in there. You have got to go. You've got to go. You can't rely on me to do it. You can't rely on your leaders to do it. You can't rely on someone else. Because here's the thing. If your leader or I or Harrison showed up to your second grade, or your second, not second grade, sorry, your second period in math class, it would be awkward and we'd probably be arrested. If we showed up to your soccer practice and started playing goalie, it would be awkward and we'd probably be arrested. Guys, you have platforms. You have the ability to minister in places that we can't. that only you can. God has you in certain places to be salt, where only you can be salt, and where others are rotting away. So how does it start? It starts with inviting someone to Wake. It starts with inviting someone to small group every week. If someone's having a hard day, encourage them with a Bible verse. Or if there's debate going on at school over sex, marriage, abortion, whatever, you got to stand for truth. And so what salt does, it preserves, it purifies. That's what God has called you to. He's called you to the task of purifying and preserving. He doesn't say it's your job to save the world. That's his. That's his. He says it's your job to preserve it and purify it. And guys, I wish I could tell you it would be easy. But it's not. It'll be hard. There'll be those that go against you, maybe even your close friends. But this is the calling that God has on our lives. That if your presence in the world, living as a faithful believer, creates an environment where the best parts of your friends are being preserved, and sin can't live, then you're preserving. You're purifying. Because just like that meat rots, the world is rotting. And Jesus is calling you to be salt. He's calling you to be light. So think, how can you do that this week? How can you do that in the rest of the school year with just a couple months left? How can you be salt and light into the world? How can you help purify and preserve? So be salt, be light, and be bold, and stand firm. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word and how it challenges us, how it challenges me. And Lord, I pray that you would make us brave. Lord, that you'd make us brave to go and be salt to the world, be salt to our friends, be salt to our families. Or where it may be difficult. I pray that we would live, that these guys would live lives that look totally different than what the world says. That they would be selfless, that they would be humble, that they would be loving, that they would be encouraging. They wouldn't seek out their own. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. And it's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.